Hi, guys. This is Ernie. Am I coming through okay?
Hi, Ernie. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Hey, Sky. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, thanks. I hear you guys are going to be having the Goldberg questions and answer thingy today.
Yep, here at 8 o'clock.
What's this, 5 o'clock my time?
Yep, 5 o'clock your time.
By the way, Rick, I heard you on ACB Radio when me and Jeff and Dale were talking about with Mike Kern about non-video desktop access, and it was fabulous. And did you guys talk on Skype or in the ACB chat room?
Yeah, we had a Skype conference. All of us were on Skype.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it.
And do you need enough people before the Goldberg chat can come on?
Oh, sorry, Sky. I didn't hear all of what you said. What did you say about the GoWave chat?
I said, do you need enough people in here before we can begin the GoldWave chat? And how long is it going to take? How long is the chat going to be?
Well, it will start here at 8 p.m. Eastern. That's 5 p.m. your time. And hopefully there'll be enough people in here to start then. May wait a few minutes, but we'll talk for an hour. Maybe two. Depends on how many questions and how many people show up.
Oh, okay.
I see that we're not blocked from recording. Is that permissible, or do you ask that we not do that?
Oh, I don't care. That's fine. I think I have my set for record too, so not a problem.
Yeah. I have the demo of GoldWave on my laptop. I do have a registration code, but I've lost it at the moment, so I have to get it back. And it's on my desktop, which isn't working. It keeps crashing on the blue screen, and I need to get it fixed.
What are you running on the desktop, 98, and the older version of GoldWave?
The full version. I wonder if there's a lunch.
Well, I sure hope more than four people show up, but we'll get started here in about 5 minutes, regardless.
Oh, okay. Let's see how many people show up, okay? And what are you going to be having on Saturday? Which chat are you going to be having on Saturday?
Well, it'll probably just be a tech questions session. You know, people could come in, ask about, problems they're having, and we'll see if we can get some answers for them.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. How about that? Yeah, Rick, I'm just testing something in GoldWave. One is about four people. One is... You should get started, I suppose.
All right. Well, it's 8 o'clock, and I guess we have a few people here, so I guess we can get started. This is just going to be a GoldWave, I guess, questions and answers session. If anybody has some questions they would like to ask, we can go ahead and start, and either I'll try to answer them, or I guess anybody else here that has an answer can answer, too.
Well, I have one. I'm actually using GoldWave for my job at the moment, and I did a test recording of a meeting with a digital recorder, and some of the other participants asked some good questions, and they didn't pick up real well, but they picked up enough to know that there's something. You know, you can definitely hear the voices, and if you listen close, you can make out the words. And I found that if I went into Dynamics and did Blair, I could bring those up, but I had to go in and do each piece of their talking individually. Is there any other way to bring the volume of those voices up without bringing the main speaker up too loud? I did try maximize volume. It did help. But I didn't know if there was, I used full dynamic range, I think, but I didn't know if there was anything else that I could do to bring those up short of going through the whole recording.
Well, unfortunately, that's probably going to be about your only choice. You can do a maximized volume and use full dynamic range. That'll take the parts of the audio file, and it'll take them up to 0 dB, and it'll make sure it doesn't distort anything. But unfortunately, it's only going to take, I think, the loudest portions up to that point. Anything that's lower, if it's too low, you're going to have to select it as you're doing and, you know, do a maximize on that section. Next time you use the recorder, you might try an external mic or adjust your sensitivity. I know I've had that problem myself too.
Well, thank you. That helps a bit. Helps me understand what I really did when I maximized the whole file. So that helps. Thank you.
Yeah, I've tried that a few times here, and I'm just learning myself actually what that does. But that's what I was told. It's kind of it just takes instead of doing say a double, you know, telling it maximize and then 200%. If you do 200%, you might go above the 0 decibel level. The 0 dB level, and if you do, then it's going to distort. So the maximize with the full dynamic range actually goes through and looks at the file and brings up anything it can, over the whole file, but it won't take the loudest parts over 0 dB.
I guess what we really need is something like normalize, and Goldwave doesn't seem to have that.
From what I was told, that's the closest thing to normalize that Goldwave does have. So I'm not used to normalize on something like, say, SoundForge, because I haven't had any real experience with it. But, unfortunately, you're probably just going to have to do like you were doing, you know, unless anybody else has a better idea. I certainly don't.
Well, I've never worked with SoundForge either and don't really have the desire to spend $200 to do what I can do with a $45 program, so.
No, I would tend to agree with you. The things I do here really don't require a professional editor. You know, I'd like to be able to mess with it, but, you know, right now Goldwave suits me. Okay, anybody else have anything they'd like to ask? I seen somebody else just come in a couple of minutes ago. Hello and welcome. This is the Goldwave question and answer chat.
Hello there, this is Jim Hunt. Just popping in here. I know I'm rather late. I was talking with Londa earlier this afternoon, and I was telling, well, I told her quite a while back that I use a program called Cool Edit here at home. I have a rather older operating system, and I use Cool Edit here at home. And that's, of course, that's been discontinued. That's now Adobe Audition, but I'm a baby in this Goldwave thing. I'm just now learning all about it, and Londa hooked me up with all kinds of tutorials and everything, so it's going to be really cool to get into.
Well, welcome, and I think you will like Goldwave. I don't have any experience with Cool Edit, but I have heard of it. There are a lot of tutorials out there, actually. A really excellent one that I learned from. Excuse me, I can't talk tonight. An excellent one I learned from was at www.for-the-people.com. It's a talking community site, but in the Galaxy of Stars section, this guy, his name is Dennis, a.k.a. Start Button. He did a 10-part series on learning how to do Goldwave, and that's what I initially learned from. And I've also did 5 or 6 parts myself here over the last year, and there are a couple of text tutorials as well.
Well, that's cool. I'm very familiar with For the People. I haven't used it in ages, though, but I'm very familiar with it. I know several friends of mine have hosted things on there.
Yeah, it's a nice place. There's a lot of decent stuff there. And then you can also, on my website, which is www.blind-geek-zone.net, I have 6 tutorials on Goldwave there as well that you can listen to. And they're also available on the Blind Cool Tech website as well.
Way cool. Yeah, I know Londa gave me some of those today. I'm guessing that's where they came from. I put them all on a CD and I'll listen to them on my leisure. I'm a portable player. I have a little Panasonic CD player that can play MP3 files as well.
Which OS are you using? Are you still running 98 or are you actually running XP?
95.
Oh my. Well, I'm not sure that those tutorials, mine or Dennis's, are going to entirely help you, because unfortunately they're based on GoldWave 5, and GoldWave 5 won't run on anything lower than Windows 2000, I believe. So in order to run it on 95, I think you're going to have to go with the older version 4.26, which is available on the GoldWave site, but unfortunately there are quite a few differences in it with keyboard layout and stuff than there are on 5. So I'm not, you know, those may help you some, but they might also confuse you. I'm not real sure.
The workstation at the job that he'll be running GoldWave from is an XP machine. That's why I gave them to him. I wouldn't have even bothered if he had 95, if he was using it on his home machine.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, he'll be fine then.
Yeah, actually, yeah, 95 is my home computer. The computer that I'll be using on, as Londa stated, that's a much newer one. I believe it's either 2000 or XP. I'm not...
Okay, great. Okay. Well, does anybody else have any questions that they'd like to ask about GoldWave? I see we have a few more people in here. I think there's 6 or 7 now. It's going to be an awfully short chat if we don't have any questions. I was hoping a lot more people would show up, and hopefully they still will, but I guess we'll see.
1%.
Oh, okay. I don't know if I was getting talked over there, but does anybody else have any questions? Eric, Jerry, Sky, any questions out of you guys? Well, it's gotten mighty quiet all of a sudden. Anybody have any questions? Am I getting out?
Yes, you are. In fact, I tried to cue my mic a few minutes ago and I wasn't hearing anything, so... I heard that 5.16, they changed everything. I listened to some of part 6 of your tutorial, but I confess I haven't been able to finish it. But I heard they changed a bunch of the keystrokes. Is that true? What did they change? What isn't going to work?
Yeah, I've heard that too. And I do know that there are some newer keystrokes. However, everything I've tried old-wise pre 5.16 still seems to work just fine. And I do need to find those. That's one thing I've been wanting to figure out, to see what else has been added. But I'm not real sure yet either.
Yeah, everything I have tried has worked. That's why I was curious.
I know there's a couple key combinations I did see, and I don't remember, unfortunately, off the top of my head what they were, but they would make, like, the start marker go all the ways to the end, or the finish marker come out all the ways back to the beginning. You know, it was like shift, home, left or right arrow, or control shift, home. You know, maybe it was control shift, home, or shift, home, and those would take the markers and move them all the ways to one extreme or the other, but unfortunately I can't remember those.
I did notice I was trying shift up arrow and control up arrow to and down arrow to try to zoom in and zoom out without having to pick a zoom. And I noticed those were not working. I was getting all mixed up, and then I'd hit a key and it wouldn't tell me where the start marker was, and I was getting all mixed up. Now, one of our volunteers went and he wanted to play with it, and he changed a toolbar option that seems to have fixed that. So, I just used the number keys with the, I forget what the command is now, the shift key, I guess, and do the zoom in, zoom out instead of trying to do it with the arrows, because that doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, that's something we're definitely going to have to look into, and I've got to confess my keyboard memory isn't well, and I don't remember enough of the zoom commands either to save my life, but I really do need to look that stuff up, and I do need to create a decent new podcast to go over those things and some of the other things that they've added. Like, there's supposedly a way to get your peak recording levels through JAWS, and I've played with it a little bit, but unfortunately I haven't gotten very far with it, but I do have some instructions, and there's a few other things that have changed. I noticed in the saves and whenever it's doing processing, there's now a priority combo box. And you can raise that up and down depending on your system. You know, if you have a slower system and you want to drop the priority level, that'll make Goldwave not work quite as hard and not overload your machine. Well, I see we have a few more people actually coming in here over the last few minutes. Welcome, everybody. This is our Goldwave question and answer session. If any of you have a question you'd like to ask about Goldwave, please go ahead and one of us will try to answer it for you.
Rick, this is Ernie.
This is Ernie.
I was recording a audio stream from the internet. Hold on, please. Okay.
Yeah, I think you need to turn your speakers down a little bit. We're getting a lot of feedback.
Okay. As I was saying, I recorded and now I have audio stream from the internet, and there was some buffering that went on. So when I finished recording, I used the shift and right arrow to go find where the buffering started. I put the start marker at the beginning of the buffering. I put the finish marker at the end of the buffering. And I tried to make a mark so that I can go back to that place when I'm finished. I deleted it, and then I recall the marker, and the marker went back to where I had deleted the buffering, but when I hit F4 to play, it started at the beginning of the file instead of where the starter marker was. What did I do wrong?
Okay, well, I know what some people do on that. Before they actually delete their selection, once they've set their markers, their start and finish markers, they do a, I think it's a shift M to memorize the marker positions. Then once they do the delete, they do a shift R to recall the positions. And then I believe you can start playing from there, and it should start where your marker's at. Another way you could do it is when you're setting up your deletion point, right at the start marker, you could do a control Q to set a cue point. And once you delete it, you could do a control J, I believe, to jump to that cue point. That may work, but you should also be able to use the, I believe it's Shift M to memorize your marker positions. And once you do your delete, do a Shift R to recall, and then do the F4 to start playing.
I did the Shift M and the Shift R, and whenever I read the status bar, it told me that the starter marker was where I wanted it in the middle of the file. But like I said, every time I try to F4 or space, it would start at the beginning of the file instead of where the marker was. But I think I'll try the dropping a Q and see if that works. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with that either, but I know what you're talking about, and I could definitely see what you're saying it's doing. I don't use the marker memorize or marker recall a lot myself. On the Blind Cool Tech website, there was another guy sometime last year that did a couple of tips, and he explained how to do that probably a lot better than I just did, and you might want to listen to that if you can find it on the Blind Cool Tech site and see where that goes. But yeah, try the cue markers and see if that helps you out.
I think I remember the guy's name was Tim or Tom or something like that. But yeah, I do recall he gave a little bit of advice.
Yeah, I think he had like Goldwave's Tips 1 and Goldwave Tips 2 or something like that. I know it was sometime last year. And actually, if I remember, he actually did a Goldwave chat like this one, and it's up on the Blind Cool Tech website too. And maybe somebody asked the same question. I really can't remember anymore, but you might want to give that a listen too. If you go to the website and just do a search for Goldwave and start jumping around there, you should find all of them.
If you go to the ACB Radio On Demand section and go to main menu, he did a tutorial for Goldwave for them. Might be hard to find, but you could find it there.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, that might be a little hard to find, but same thing. Just search for Goldwave, and there shouldn't be that many of them. Probably can find it there, too.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Tyler. How you doing?
Oh, I'm okay. Who in here? I'm just curious.
Who's in here?
Yeah, because I just came in because I was bored and the rest.
Well, there's 7 or 8 of us in here right now. We're currently doing a Goldwave chat, taking questions and answers. There's, I don't know, 7 or 8 of us in here right now.
Ah, okay. I was pretty sure I missed it, but I just came in time.
Yeah, we just started at 8 o'clock.
Ah, I'm over here in Canada, so it's kind of early here.
Okay, well, it's probably about 5 o'clock for you then. But yeah, we just started at the top of the hour, and if you're interested in Goldwave and have any questions, we can sure try to answer them.
Ah, okay. Because I'm interested in making, in doing podcasts, and hopefully people will listen to them, even though everybody on the list doesn't seem to like me anymore, but that's beside the point.
Well, that doesn't mean anything, you know. You can do podcasts. Everybody will listen to them. What kind of podcasts are you looking to do, and are you looking to use something like Goldwave to make them?
Yeah, because I'm mostly a Linux nut, but I'm interested in helping the blindness community, even though, of course, me and my friends are into writing viruses and stuff, but that's beside the point. But I'm interested in helping the blindness community with podcasts and stuff, similar to how people can submit to Blind Cool Tech.
Okay, well, you can certainly do that with Goldwave. That's one of the easier ways to do it, as far as recording your podcast through Goldwave and then editing it, saving it out as an MP3, and then submitting it to some place such as Blind Cool Tech, or if you have your own website, you could, do your own feed and everything from there. Not sure about Linux. Goldwave doesn't run on Linux, so you definitely have to come over to the Windows side to do that.
Yeah. My main question with Goldwave, though, is how can I record over 3 hours? Because I'm not sure if it's 3 or 6, but the WAV file format only uses a 4-byte signed integer for the length of the file.
Yeah, there's a 2-gigabyte limit on WAV file format. People have managed to record longer than 3 hours. I know people did it. I don't know if they're setting their quality rates down below PCM 16-bit sampling rates or not. Maybe they're going direct to MP3. I think you can do that too. In the control settings, you can when you press F11, you can go to the recording tab and you can set the record method. It defaults to PCM 16-bit 44K, but I think you might be able to drop that or change it to MP3, but I know people have done it. But you're not going to record a podcast for 3 hours, are you?
I hope not, but with the podcast, I find that, like, right in the middle of a podcast, I'll end up getting called on Skype due to somebody screaming at me because I have infected their computer with a virus. So, and then in that case, I got to stop recording and I get all screwed up.
Well, that's what pause is for. Okay, anybody else have any questions or anything? I noticed we have about 8 or 9 people in here now. So, anybody else have anything going on they'd like to add?
Mixing audio, is that covered in, I guess that's covered in the tutorials, but mixing audio, like say if I wanted to mix one thing with another, like if I had music or something, or if I wanted to, like, if I was doing production work or what have you, and if I wanted to mix in a music bed underneath some text, how would I go about doing that?
Yeah, my part 3 pretty much covers that, where you would put a have a voice track and then you would mix some music under it. Basically, you record all your vocals in one file, then you open up another file that has your audio, then you go to the edit menu and there's a mix that you can go into, and you can tell it where to start mixing your music in, and it's pretty simple. You can't do multi-track stuff with GoldWave, unfortunately, but you can mix one or more things together and into one file.
Cool. I'll definitely check that out. Thanks.
You couldn't really synchronize singing with music, though. That would be hard, right, without being multi-track?
No, I don't think so. I know a couple people asked that out on the list several months ago. They were looking to do just that, and I really don't know of any way in GoldWave, unfortunately, to do that. I don't think it could very easily be done.
I'd probably just do it in something like Audacity that's free and then take it into GoldWave and edit it.
Yeah, you definitely would need something that did multi-tracks like that, or I guess if you had the money, you know, go with SoundForge, but I don't know if you could record, you know, with your music in the background through a mic and your own voice at the same time or not. You know, not two sources, but actually as you were singing into the mic, you would have your music playing in the background. I don't know if that's really a professional way to do it or not, but I suppose you could do that as well.
You could probably do it. I don't think you could control your levels real well.
I was also wondering how professional music groups control, like, their music and the voice and the singing and stuff all at the same time.
Well, what they do is they use multi-track recorders. Somebody will record the vocals on one track, and then, say, on another track, you might lay down your guitars. Another track, you might lay down pianos. And they just keep doing multiple tracks and laying those all over one another. And then, you know, record it out to a stereo tape. you can't really do that on Goldwave, at least not very easily.
Darn, I was interested in taking some music and putting some words on it and stuff, but I can't seem to get the words to synchronize up with the music, because Goldwave is only single track. I don't know if a multi-track editor like Adobe Audition could do it either.
I think Adobe could definitely do it, but I don't think you're going to get anywhere with Goldwave, and I think SoundForge could do it too. They do have another file out on the Goldwave site, but unfortunately I guess it's not accessible. It's called MultiQuence, but it's a multi-track recorder, sequencer, and it would have been really nice if they'd made that a little bit more accessible, because it's more money than Goldwave, but it's less than SoundForge, and less than Audacity too, I think.
Audacity's free, so you can't get less than Audacity, I don't think.
That's right, not Audacity, but what is it? Oh, heck. The Adobe one's, I think, close to, what, $300. But the MultiQuence is cheaper than that, and it's cheaper than SoundForge, too.
I didn't think SoundForge could do multi-track like that, either. I thought it could only do basically what Goldwave does, but just more of it.
Well, that could be true. I may be speaking without knowing what I'm talking about there, but I thought that was the case, but maybe it's not. But I know Adobe Audition definitely does. And like you said, the other program could. And I don't know if Cool Edit, if anybody still has that, if anybody can use that to do it or not either. That's an old program, but I heard it could do it too.
Yeah, I use Cool Edit to mix audio. In fact, that's how I've done a lot of production. Of course, I have a Cool Edit 2000. I do a lot of production work here at home, and I've even done jingles and stuff where I've mixed audio in Cool Edit.
Is it able to be gotten anywhere anymore, or is it just totally gone by the wayside?
Beg pardon, sir.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said, can it be gotten anymore, or is it gone forever? I know, I think it's, that's Adobe now, right?
Yeah, yeah, it is now Adobe. Cool Edit 2000 has been discontinued. Yeah, it's no longer being put out there. But, yeah, I have it here on my computer. And also, shifting gears a little bit, speaking of Centrillium, the former makers of Cool Edit, I also happen to have a copy of what was called Cool Edit Wind Chimes, and I use that to help me get to sleep at night sometimes.
Yeah, it's too bad that some of these programs have went away, and it's too bad that we can't find anything that's really accessible, because I know Adobe Audition, after 1.5, definitely isn't accessible, and I guess I guess nobody's doing scripts for it anymore either, so, you know, I don't know what else there is really to do any kind of multi-track professional recording nowadays. Let's maybe use, what is that, the Apple, and do, what is it, Pro Tools?
There is Sonar, and you can get the scripts for that, but it's expensive.
Yeah, being involved in radio, I've heard a lot about Pro Tools. I have a couple friends who use that in their home studios on their Macs. Yeah, I've heard a lot about that. It sounds like a really cool program.
Yeah, it's real high end from what I've heard. I've heard a couple of podcasts on it. And I guess it's definitely the way to go if you're a pro.
Unfortunately for us, though, Pro Tools only works on OS 9 because the people who make Pro Tools don't really care about us in OS 10.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I had heard. There was a petition, I guess, last year, and apparently that didn't go anywhere. But yeah, that's what I did hear, that OS 10 didn't like it. So I don't know. I guess, you know, we kind of get left out in the cold sometimes. But all right, I don't know, does anybody else have any Goldwave questions? We're kind of getting off topic here a bit, but anybody else have a Goldwave question?
I sort of do, because when I was writing my Global Hot Teeth podcast, which everybody seemed to like, even though it didn't end up going on Blind Cool Tech for some reason, I could never figure out, even with the assistance on the list, I couldn't really figure out how to save my position in Gold Wave. Every time I made a selection, it would always go to the beginning of the file or something equally stupid.
Yeah, Gold Wave navigation is a bit to be desired, but what you can try is you can either use the cue points and get to a spot and do a control Q to drop a cue point at that location, and then do a control J to jump to it. You can set multiple cue points up in a file. That's one way to jump quickly to segments. If you're editing a segment, deleting or whatever, once you set your marker positions, you're supposed to be able to do like a Shift M to memorize the markers, then do your delete, edit, or whatever, and then do a Shift R to recall them, and then supposedly that's supposed to let you start playing from where the start marker is, but somebody was just saying they were having troubles with that, so I'd have to say, you know, try the cue point system and see if that helps you. And as far as your podcast not getting on BCT, I'd resubmit it. It could have gotten lost. We've had a lot of problems with that here over the last 6 or 7 months. So, hey, you know, try and resubmit it. I'm sure it'll get put up there.
Yeah, I suppose so. But at least, well, I was just wondering how much work it would take to write a basic free sound editor that just had navigation and deleting. That's about all you need for podcasting. And maybe normalization, but you can do that in Goldwave, just normalize the whole file. All I need, at least, is a sound editor that's got navigation, really good navigation, and deleting.
Yeah, that's what we all need. I'm not really sure. I try to just primarily stick with Goldwave and live with its limitations, because it's so far been, you know, the most accessible thing I've found. I'm really not sure of what else does better navigation, you know, because unfortunately all this stuff, the navigation is through the mouse, and, you know, sighted people, you know, using the mouse and, you know, highlighting areas and jumping to areas just with mouse clicks, and, you know, we have a hard time doing that.
Rick, I have done the memorize markers, and it actually does work well. What you do is you set your start marker. Don't set your finish marker. Leave it at the end of the file. Memorize your markers, then set your finish marker, and then when you're done with your deletion, do a Shift R to recall your markers. It'll put your finish marker back at the end, but put your start marker back where you had set it, and then you can play right from that start marker, and it does work. I have tried it.
Yes, it sure does. I just tried it just right now.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I keep doing wrong. Well, the guy that asked earlier, hopefully he's still here. I think it was Eric, or no, maybe it was Ernie. I can't remember now, but that's right. You set your start marker, but not your end marker, and then do the memorize and then the recall afterwards. Thanks. That's why I never get it to work right.
This is Ernie. I heard that. Thank you very much.
See, I'm no expert either. I just think I am.
And I thought I was coming here to learn something. I didn't know I was coming here to teach stuff.
Yeah, it's Teach the Teacher Night. But hey, that's good, you know, we all learn from each other, and I can never remember all of this stuff. There's just too much of it to remember, unfortunately, but, you know, thankfully we do have all the keyboard commands that we do have in Goldwave, and like I said, I'd like to see what the newer ones are for 5.16 and higher, because supposedly there's supposed to be some interesting stuff there.
Can't you just upgrade to 5.18 or whatever the latest version is?
Yeah, 5.19 is the latest version. Just come out last week. And yeah, you can definitely do that. It's just the only thing there that I was talking about is before version 5.16. Most of us are familiar with those keyboard commands, and as of 5.16 and later, there are some new keyboard commands, and none of us are really real sure what all those are yet.
Yeah, I have 5.16. I'm not sure what version of Goldwave I have.
I may write to Chris at Goldwave and just ask him if he can send me a list of what's new in the keyboard list, and that would save me some time from going through all the documentation and trying to hunt that out. He's usually real good at answering questions too. You know, if anybody has a problem with Goldwave and, you know, you can't get anybody on the list to solve it, you know, Chris at Goldwave, he's been really good at answering questions, and he's willing to work with the blind community a lot. So, you know, he may definitely be able to answer any question you have as well.
Speaking of Goldwave, maybe slightly off the topic of Goldwave, but it's close enough to it. Does anyone know a good mod tracker?
I don't know if it does or not.
Darn, because I listen to KeyGen music, and if you put them in Wave, they're so huge.
You mean mod files? Only ones I'm aware of, and this will show how old I am. Was back in the 80s on the Amiga computer. They used mod files for music, and yeah, it was really interesting, but I bet money that's not what you're talking about.
I'm pretty sure it's the same mod files from the Amiga. Most cracks and keygens use them, so I have 670 KeyGen songs that are in various of those old mod and XM formats.
Oh, okay. So are you asking if Goldwave will handle those? I'm not sure I can answer that question. I don't think so, but who knows? You could try opening one with it, see what it does. Mod files came out back in, I think, like 1985 when the Amiga computer came out. It was one of the first computers that had high-quality stereo music at the time. You know, the PCs didn't, and neither did any of the other the little PCs that were floating around. It was the first that had, you know, really high-quality. It was, you know, similar to MIDI music, but much higher quality. And I didn't know anybody was still even messing with those formats, so that's kind of interesting.
Did it have any speech output?
The Amiga? I don't know if it did or not. I had Sight back then, so I didn't use any kind of a speech synthesizer. So I don't know if it did or not. I'd kind of say no, but, you know, who knows?
At least to me, all the old technologies like mod files and MS-DOS and stuff, they're really interesting because computers have advanced so far since even the MS-DOS days.
Yes, exactly. Things have advanced since in the 80s.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I'm an old DOS person myself. I started out with DOS 3.3, and I was a programmer back when I was sighted, and I used to work in DOS a lot, and, you know, things have changed dramatically since then, but, you know, probably for the better, because there's a lot of things you couldn't do back then with a screen reader that you can do now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Computers advanced. And the recordings they used in those days were reel-to-reel. That's what they used before even Sound Urban came out.
Yeah, and believe it or not, some people still use reel-to-reel.
How does that work?
Reel-to-reel?
Yeah.
Is that what you were asking? How does reel-to-reel work?
Yeah. Is it like a cassette tape?
Yeah, it's a lot like a cassette tape, but it's on large reels. They're 7, 10, and I think 15 inches. The tape is wider. It's not a quarter inch or no, it's not a... What is it on cassettes? Eighth inch or quarter inch? It's wider than that, and the tape speed's faster. And on a lot of them, they're four track. You can on the better units, you can actually do multi-track recording on those. You can use track one and record something to track two and three and four. And some people actually still use those.
I don't have a rear to rear myself, but my father does. I played one that was rear to rear. I have to try, because I want to have it back, because I need to try recording stuff on it, on the rear to rear.
Yeah, we still have one of those sitting around in our radio station, reel to reel tape. I remember reel to reel tape player, rather, and we still have some reel to reels. I remember in the beginning working at the station having to thread those things.
And what recording programs do you guys use in your recording in your radio station?
We'll soon be using the Eterol R9 digital recorders. We have two of them we'll be using, and also we're going to be using Goldwave, which is why Londa and I are taking part in this chat discussion and downloading the tutorials and what have you. But as of right now, for years and years and years, we've been using tape.
So it's an analog station.
For the most part, yeah, it's still an analog station that we still use cassette tapes. We have cassette tape recorders that we use our volunteers record things onto. As far as production work, I solely do that on my computer now. I hardly do any of the PSA production work, public service announcement production work on tape anymore. I do it on the computer here at home. I mix it here and bring it into station.
And so, are you the engineer who does the recordings in the radio station? And so you guys use, when you guys use a reel to reel, do you have to change cassette tapes in certain hours?
Yeah, we don't use any of the reel to reels anymore, but we use the regular cassette tapes, and yeah, we change them every so on the hour. We do things a little differently now. We have actually partnered up with another radio reading service, and we're actually sending programs. They're not live anymore, but they're being fed to the other station via an ISDN line.
And with the cassette tape, do you use its internal microphone, or do you have it connected to the mixing board and have the mixing board microphone?
Actually, one booth does have a mixing board. And the tape player recorder, and there's even a CD player in there, and a microphone. They're all connected to the mixing board. And then in the other booth, there's no mixing board involved. There's just the tape recorder and the microphone.
Oh, that's cool. Do you do a lot of the engineering there?
Well, I like to think of myself as programming and operations assistant. I'm not really so much the engineer. We have a guy from a radio station that comes with, well, actually, we have two people that are very, very, very knowledgeable with the equipment that we have, and the wiring and stuff, how it's all connected. But we have, we have an engineer for that. But I turn the programs on, put them on the air according to schedule, and do a lot of the production work. That's what I do.
And so, since you're blind, do you guys have a screen reader on the computer for you to use? And since you guys do, is it Window Eyes or JAWS?
It is JAWS. I'm going to be using JAWS, and I'm going to be using JAWS, Goldwave, and we're also going to have Winamp in it. We used to have another automation computer, but that I wasn't able to use that whatsoever. So we reverted back to the old way of playing on from tape when the automation machine crashed. But this new computer we don't have it set up yet, but I'm going to be using Goldwave and Winamp and JAWS.
What does your radio station do? You said you were going to use a couple Eterol R9s to put stuff onto Goldwave. What do you What are you going to do? What kind of work does your radio station do, actually?
We are a radio reading service for the blind. We're actually a radio reading network for the blind. We have we've teamed up with the radio reading service. We're the South Central Audio Network, SCAN, SCAN, the South Central Audio Network, made up of the Harrisburg Area Radio Reading Service in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and also the Lancaster Radio Information Network. We've teamed up to become SCAN, and our volunteers read books, magazines, and newspapers over the air to people who have our closed circuit radios. And also, we're also available now through additional channels. We're on a couple Comcast cable FM stations, and also on open channel 66 on the cable in the Lancaster area. So we're getting all over the place.
That's really interesting. So what are you going to do? Read books into the R9 and then take those and edit them with Goldwave so you can play them back automatically?
That's the plan, yeah. I'm actually the access technology specialist. I do all the training, but when they wanted to get digital, the executive director called me and said, figure it out. And I'm like, I know nothing about audio. And she said, figure it out. So our eventual plan, actually, we're not on Comcast yet. We're going to be, but we're not yet, as far as I know. I'll be open for Jim to correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think they've got all that worked out yet for sending the files down there. But we also want to do podcasting and streaming. So, yeah, we'll have the computer in the control room and the two Eterols in the booths because we couldn't afford three computers. So we got the Eterols, and then we can transfer from the Eterols into the computer, into Goldwave. Some of it we'll edit. Some of it probably will just be sent down raw, you know, depending on time and how much time we have to get it out and whether we actually have time to edit. We'll probably edit out any major guffaws. And we'd like to do PSAs, but we also want to do podcasting and eventually streaming, but I'm finding that streaming is very, very expensive, so I don't know what's going to happen with that.
By the way, Rick, when you're mixing stuff in Goldwave, how do you get it so that if you're mixing a music with your voice, how do you make it so that there's a bit of silence before your voice comes on when the music plays? Is there any solution to that?
Yeah, I think that you would have a little bit of silence in the beginning of your voice track, and then you would lay your music down under that right at the beginning. At least that's how I do it. There are ways to tell Goldwave how to where to mix the files out at what point in the file, but I haven't messed with that too much here.
Can you actually, when you're mixing in Goldwave, back to Goldwave, can you start your music out like louder and then kind of fade it down and let your voice come in?
Yeah, you would take your music track and you would go into the volume effects and you would do a linear fade and then put your voice over top of that. Probably the best way I can think of to do it.
Sorry about that. I'm just trying something out with Goldwave.
Does that make sense, what I just said?
I think so. If I can find where that effect is. I've seen fade out in the volume, but I haven't seen linear fade, unless that's when you hit enter on fade out, it gives you that. I didn't go into there, so.
Yeah, there's fade ins, fade outs, and if you go into either one of those, they'll have presets, and there's a linear fade in, and there's a linear fade out, and what that does, there's also, I'm trying to remember what the other fade in and fade out is, but the linear fade in and fade outs work over a longer period. And it's kind of hard to set the fade points up, not visually, but that's what I do.
Guess I'll have to play with it from there, but that sounds like an interesting concept.
Yeah, and on the tutorials that Dennis did over on For the People, he actually showed in one of his, he did a better job than I did at it, but he showed how to take a voice track, mix in a music track under it. He took the music track and he made it start normal at the beginning and then fade slowly down to where the voice started, then stay at a low level, and then just before the voice finished, he had it come back up to full volume slowly.
I'll have to go find those.
Yeah, he definitely did do some interesting things in those, and those might help you, and that's over at For the People, and then once you have to sign up, but it's free. And once you get in there, you go to Galaxy of Stars. And then it's under, I think, Presentations. And then his name is Dennis, a.k.a. Start Button. And it's a Goldwave tutorial. There's 10 of them. They're about a half an hour apiece.
In Goldwave, does the left and right arrow also move you through a file?
I think the left and right arrows affect the positioning in the file as far as on the screen visually as to what area you're working in, but they don't actually move you through the file as navigation.
And can multi-track in Goldwave?
No, multi-tracking isn't available in Goldwave, unfortunately. I see we got several people just coming in. Better late than ever. How are you guys all doing? And this is the Goldwave question and answer chat. If anybody that's just come in over the last few minutes has a Goldwave question, please feel free to ask it. Hopefully somebody here can answer it for you.
I didn't realize we had a Goldwave thing going on. This is Jim in Texas. I'll just say hi to everybody and hang around for a minute and see what happens.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm good. Good. The weather's great here. And there's life after the end of winter. That's good.
Yeah, you guys actually got past winter. We haven't got that far yet.
It was about 80. Probably 78 to 80 here today, and it's kind of nice. I like it.
Nah, it won't be that here for another 2 months. Hey, I have a Goldwave question for anybody that might know. I don't know if anybody in here does or not, but I heard on the list the other day that Goldwave doesn't work in Vista, and also that Goldwave, and I guess any other editor, can't record from the sound card in Vista. Does anybody know anything about any of that?
Seems like Jamie's trying to speak, but I don't hear anything. Is it just me?
Yeah, I think we got messed up there. I think I'm talking now. Okay, let's try it again.
I don't know anyone I don't know about Vista because I haven't tried it yet, but I know someone who might be game to try it. I could find out, maybe.
I have. For about 3 days before I thought it was a piece of junk and deleted it. I tried Goldwave, and Invista is really interesting because each sound source, whether it be microphones, stereo mix, if you figure out how to turn it on, it's quite difficult. Microphone, stereo mix, line, is a separate audio card to Goldwave.
Interesting. Did you have much luck using it? I had heard on the list somebody was saying that you can't record anything from the actual sound card itself in Vista.
I recorded from the mic just fine, but I didn't try stereo mix because in Vista right now everything's breaking. Like, the only screen in here that really supports it is Windows, and I had to use external speech because my sound card, it had only XP drivers and it lagged.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the thing here. I've wanted to switch to Vista, but I don't know that my drivers are going to support it either. I've heard my sound card isn't supported, and I don't know that I'm up for buying a bunch of new hardware just to try this out just yet.
Windows Vista has to be the best and the worst operating system Microsoft's ever produced.
Yeah, it's going to be a while, I think, before too many people, especially in the blind community, are going to be using it. But I definitely want to use it, and, you know, hopefully over the next 6 months to a year, everything will get stable. The screen readers will get stable, you know. And, yeah, from what I've heard, we should be able to have quite an experience in it. And hopefully Goldwave will work. I see version 5.19, one of the changes in it, said it's Goldwave compatible now. So I guess we'll just have to see.
At least for me, in terms of JAWS running with anything, it's a big disappointment. JAWS has got to be the worst screen reader on the planet, except when it comes to terminals. Terminals, it works great in. But anything else, like for example, if you hold down the left arrow in Goldwave, it really limits the keyboard response, and it lags the system, like even in SoundForge or Notepad or something. You hold the up arrow down, all you hear is bing, 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 whereas in any other screen reader, it'll just go as fast as the keyboard repeat rate.
Hey Tyler, are you using Windows right now, or are you using JAWS?
I'm using JAWS after I got hit by a virus that I couldn't get rid of that trashed everything.
You can't get rid of what?
I had a virus. I had to reinstall Windows because it trashed everything. I've gotten pretty good at Windows unattended installs, though. I got it automatically installing JAWS. I got it automatically installing Winamp and WinRAR and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. What virus did you have?
Well, I had one that I wrote that accidentally got out of control that sort of broke.
Oh, man. That must be terrible to have your own creation come back and bite you in the butt. Oh, boy. Okay, does anybody else have any Goldwave comments? Questions or just anything about Goldwave?
Yeah, I found out, I want to make a comment. I found out that if you press S7 in the provision of the file and mix it together, it'll actually mix the other file in that provision where the last file was. And that's pretty handy.
You mean pressing F7 to pause and then do some kind of recording and have it go right into that position? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting. The way I've always done it is I would hit an F7, and then I would hit my start and finish markers at that point and record. I didn't know you could just hit F7 pause and do the record. So, yeah, that's interesting. Thanks.
No, you can hit a sound at the cursor position and press Control C and then go back to the other file and then press Control N to mix, and then I mix right there, and it seems to work.
Okay, so you don't have to put your start and finish markers at that position. You can just do the F7 alone. Okay, well, that's interesting. I'll have to give that a try. Thanks.
Oh, okay. It's only for the mix. By the way, Tyler, did you also have to reinstall WindowEyes as well as Jive?
Well, luckily I was able to fix Windows, but I had to reinstall about an hour later after I ran another program that I downloaded that put spyware on my computer. So yeah, I had to reinstall JAWS and Windows and everything else that I had. Took about a day and a half because it's really annoying. But, hey, guy, did you get added to my huge 100-person Skype chat?
No, I didn't actually, because I was rather lucky. I was lucky, but I wasn't added.
Is there a way in Goldwave to actually, without, I know you can make another recording and paste it in, but is there a way to actually insert recorded material, or do you have to record it into another file and then copy it and then paste it in?
Well, what I do there is what I was just kind of explaining to Sky, and I didn't realize that he had just meant it was for mix only, but what I do is I get to a point where I want to insert a recording. Say I've done a recording and I find out I need to add something to it in a certain spot. What I'll do is I'll get to that spot, I'll hit F7 to pause it, I'll hit the left bracket and the right bracket to put the start and finish markers together. Then I'll do a stop, an F8, and then I'll do my control F9 to record, and it's recording inside of the start and finish marker. And then what happens is that gets inserted right at that point. And you don't have to record it in another file. I kind of stumbled on that last year on accident.
Hey Tyler, did you have? Yeah, that does work. Going back to Tyler. Hey Tyler, did you actually run a program that actually did you run the JFW? What was that called? The kit for the unattended installation, and then you're able to install Windows quickly.
I went way beyond that. I've gone into making winnnt.zip files and command line scripts that would install like JAWS for me and everything else. I just put it on CD and go.
That's pretty cool. I'll have to try that if I ever need to format my desktop, which isn't working at the moment because it keeps crashing out of blue screen after I restart the computer, which isn't good.
Okay, Tyler, I know this isn't Goldwave related whatsoever, but I can't resist, pal. What virus did you create? Like, what just curious.
How did you create the virus, basically? I'm not creating anything. I just learned how to program and program a game that will work without virus, and I'll always scam it.
Hold on, I'm getting a billion Skype chats. I think it's annoying. Hold on.
Now you know how I feel, don't you? Jeez, that's funny. Yeah, I'll bite too. I'd be real curious to know what kind of virus you created and got unleashed on yourself, even though it's not a Goldwave question.
Hi, everyone. It's Quinn. I just want to tell you, Rick, that your podcasts on the Goldwave are great. Actually, it helped me a lot. I think there was one point I was using SoundForge, but now I actually use GoldWave now.
Hey, Quinn, how are you doing? Well, that's great. I'm glad I was able to convert somebody over from SoundForge. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's great to hear.
Yeah, so the virus I wrote, I've written several of them, and they're not really viruses. They're like scripts that you run, and they play like the light setup one that I sent to Blind Cool Tech last year that nobody could figure out what it was. It was very poorly coded, but it's gotten to the point now where, yeah, that was one of them, but it was horrible. So now I wrote one that played, Keygen music. Which is basically the music you get from cracks and keygens. It plays it at full volume when you boot the machine up. But people send it to me because they hate me for writing it. So what happened was, I ran it, and of course, it was a version without an uninstaller, so I had to boot into another operating system and do a whole bunch of tricks to get rid of it.
Tyler, you know, if you'd put your knowledge forth to helping people, you'd you'd be in real good shape. You know, you really could better yourself there, you know. But let's get back on Goldwave. If anybody has any other Goldwave questions or comments, be happy to listen.
Tyler, just a suggestion. Before you have me do a chat, you could probably tell me what's going on, and you could ask me if I'd be interested in joining it, and I could say yes, and you could add me. And I am interested.
Oh, yeah. But what I like doing is getting me and my friends, we all select everybody in our contact list and hit add. But I don't like Skype, and I'm not asking you what. Are you sure you want to be added to a 100-person chat? It isn't like we can make a contact group called Friends that we can just select the whole group. You got to select each one at a time. That's a pain.
Okay. Any more Goldwave questions or comments? Seeing we had quite a few new people come in the last 15 or 20 minutes. Anybody have anything they'd like to contribute?
Hey, Rick. I just got into a chat with some people. I think according to Tyler, he pressed the. What the hell did you press?
What you do is you go to add, and then you select everybody in your contact list with a control A, and then hit add, press OK, got it. Bang. Everybody comes in.
Okay, I'll try that. Hey, why don't we do this? Okay, hold on a sec.
All right, come on, guys. This is real interesting, but this is a Goldwave chat tonight, and I really don't want to segue into Skype and multi-people chats or anything. I'd like to let people talk about Goldwave if anybody has anything to talk about.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rick. Okay.
Actually, I have something kind of weird. It doesn't happen on my desktop, but it does happen on my laptop that whenever I use the right Alt key, it would give me an error message. So basically, I have to do everything with the, well, not everything. I have to, for every Alt command, I have to use the left one because if I use the right one, it would give me an error message, and then I just have to press OK and then continue. Do you have any idea?
Is that in Goldwave or everything? I don't know. Could the Alt key be... I don't know, could the right Alt key be being remapped or something? I really don't know. That's a weird problem. What is the error message?
Well, I can try to go in there and see. It's only in Goldwave. Only in Goldwave. So even if I use, Alt-Tab, or basically whenever I'm in Goldwave and I use the Alt, the right Alt key, it just gives me this error message.
I'll have to try that. I only use the left Alt key. For most things I do, I really don't use the right Alt key much, but I don't know. Maybe it's something to do with the Goldwave scripts. Are you using the Goldwave scripts, perhaps? I'd have to try that out. I'm not real sure. That's interesting.
Yeah, actually, it's an access violation message. I'm not sure what I did. But yeah, I would say access violation message 000. I'm not sure. I do use the script. But I just noticed it's only on my laptop. I'm not sure why.
Boy, that is strange. Access violation. Yeah, that's a crash. Does the program actually crash? Or if you press OK, does it just go on and work? Or what does it do?
Yeah, if I press OK, then it works just normal. So basically, whenever I use that command, it would just have that message. And then it would not allow me to continue until I press OK.
Boy, that sounds like a question for Chris at Goldwave. He might be able to answer that. That's really, really odd. I've got a laptop here. I'll have to put Goldwave on it and try that. Try using the right alt key and see if anything happens. That's really weird. I'd try to contact Chris at Goldwave and email him and see if he knows anything.
Okay, well, I guess it's not too big a problem. It just sometimes I just need to use, say, Alt S for effects or something like that, and I just have to use the left hand.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah, I'd agree. It's not a huge problem. I primarily use the left alt key myself, but, you know, hey, if you want to use the right alt key, you should be able to without crashing something.
Now, when you press the record button, I noticed that after about 1 minute, you know, JAWS would start to say untitled. So it would start to say something about the file that you're opening. So when you press the record button, do you know, does it actually record right away, or does it record only after the file message?
I think what that is if you hit an F11 and go into your control properties and you go to the record tab and you tab through there, one of those items will say something like control settings or display settings. I don't remember what it is, but I know if you turn that off, that won't happen. What it's doing is when you press record, Goldwave brings up a dialog box and it sits there and waits for you to choose some recording parameters. One of those checkboxes, I'd have to go look, I don't know off the top of my head, but in that recording tab, one of those, you can tell it not to display that dialog setting when you press record, and that'll go away.
If anything, hello everybody, my name is Sean. I just wanted to ask you a question that I have about Goldwave, because I use it for restoring audio. And from what I've heard, I've told people about how I restore old records, and I've got old 78s that I've restored with it. And people have been telling me the hiss reduction is pretty bad, and I'm wondering, is there any way you can use hiss reduction without causing your record to sound like you threw it under a waterfall or a water tank or something? Because I'm trying to do audio restoration, and it's kind of becoming audio artifactation instead.
Yeah, the noise reduction isn't great, I guess, in Goldwave. A lot of people have said that. What you have to do is, when you're in the noise reduction preset and in the different parameters, the very last one, before it wraps back around to the presets, it'll say something like a time percentage, and JAWS isn't reading that right, but it's the very last option, and I think it defaults at like 50. What you would do, and it may be even defaulting to 100, but what happens is the higher that setting is, the more the noise reduction tries to affect the recording, and the higher it's set, the more that under the water artifact comes in. If you try to set it down somewhere between, I don't know, 30, 40, and try it, you may have better luck, but that's what I've heard too. And I don't mess with noise reduction, unfortunately, too much on Goldwave.
Yeah, I kind of played with it, because what I have is I've got a whole bunch of old polished 78s that I'm trying to clean up. Now, this is a bit of fun thing for me, and I'm just going to give you a quick demo of this. Oh. Welcome to a Sound Blaster sound card that is actually being very crackly at the moment. Let me hold on a sec. Now, here's something that I actually did with hiss reduction on it. Keep in mind, this was done with, and I've also noticed a couple of quirks with Goldwave, is that I used a record here, and I'm just going to play you this very badly cleaned up version, but listen, and you can hear how it kind of artifacted a bit. I'm not sure if you can hear how artifacty that is, but that was from a record originally. And then it cleans itself up straight off, but I have to figure out how to clean it up so it doesn't get artifacty like it is. But that's part of a record that I've got.
Was that where it sounded like it was distorting there about, oh, I don't know, what, 10 seconds into it, where it, I don't know if it slowed down or distorted or what. Is that what you're talking about? It's hard to hear on this on the chat channel here because the quality's so low to start with.
Well, what that was is the record itself is not in the best condition, and the unfortunately, I need to get a new needle for my turntable. Well, actually, because I was using the wrong type of stylus to play that, which you should never ever do. But I just wanted to get like two records onto my thing, onto my computer, so I did that. What that was is that was where the needle was picking up all the surface noise, and so what you had was the surface noise was creating the distortion there, and that's what that was. So that's what that was.
Okay, well, it's really hard to tell, you know, on this connection quality is so low, you really can't play something like that and hear much out of it, but I don't know if anybody else has any other suggestions as far as plugins, if anybody's tried any other noise reduction plugins for GoldWave, because you can get other DirectX plugins for GoldWave. I guess some of them that work in Winamp will work in GoldWave, and I don't know if anybody's tried any of those or not.
Oh, the recording checkbox says, let's see, show settings window. Turn that off and also go into the visuals tab and set as many of those to blank as you can. It dramatically speeds up GoldWave.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's exactly what I was looking for, the settings box, not to show that. And yeah, you're right, especially on slower machines, you'll probably want to turn all those visualizations off as best you can, because they're pretty to look at if you can see, but otherwise, if you're on a slow computer, yeah, they can bog GoldWave down.
I will say that visuals on any computer kind of break things, and of course, this computer here that I'm running with the crackly sound card, this is actually an old Pentium computer, and it runs things pretty well with 256 megs of RAM, but GoldWave, best advice, don't try running it under 256 megs of RAM unless you want to play with the priority settings, which I actually want to do, because the way that the priority settings I have, they're all set to maximum, which breaks the box and causes the sound card to crackle. Although now it's not doing that anymore, which is kind of interesting. It'll run just fine under 256 megs of RAM, just slowly. But oh yeah, there's also another options in the options window, draw overview graph. Turn that off, and it should speed it up a bit too.
Oh, cool.
By the way, hi Rick. Hey Quim. Have you updated your tracker to 3.0? Because I have a new tracker.
Yes, I have. Rick, I just have a question. So say if you at a point and you want to put a start marker at it, and then you just want to basically jump to the next, I don't know, say 10, 20 minutes or something like that, and then is there a way you can jump without moving the start marker, or somehow put it in some sort of memory?
That's a real good question. I myself don't know of any way to do that, but maybe somebody else here does. I'm not real sure. I think all the navigation, as far as I know, moves the start marker. Maybe somebody has an answer to that. I know I use the Shift E setting to jump around, but that moves the start marker to wherever you tell it to set it. So, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think I remember something about the Shift M or Control Shift M or something like that. That kind of memorized the markers. I think I might play around with that and see whether that just remembered the start marker or also the finish marker. Yeah, but I did. Change the window setting. Yeah, that seemed to work great. Thanks.
By the way, Quan, in your wireless podcast that I heard, did you use GoldWave to record that podcast?
No, I didn't.
What did you use?
Just a digital recorder.
Speaking of digital recorders, I'm actually wondering How much do the Olympus DS50 or whatever they have now, I believe it's the DS50, whatever the new Olympuses are, how much do those go for, and do you know if those, do any of you know if those can record in stereo? Because right now I've been doing recordings on my iRiver, and although it's good, it records in mono. I wonder if there's any way I could get anything to go in stereo.
Yeah, the Olympus DS50s are running 239 right now. And yes, they do record in stereo. They record in WMA 128K bit stereo. From what I've heard, it's pretty good. And, you know, if you're not doing music. But I don't know, I've heard some good music out of it too, so I can't really say that. But yes, it will record in stereo, and they're running about 239 right now.
Okay, do you know if, does it come with any stereo mics built into it, like the DS320, or does it just come with like one mic and then you have to get, because I have a couple microphones, they're really, really cheap Radio Shack mics, and I'm trying to figure out what I can do with them, because I got them for like $25 each, and I'm trying to figure out what I can use them for, because I can't use them with my iRiver because it doesn't have a lining jack. It's an iRiver T10, and the annoying thing is that the AB repeat button on it is kind of going out on me, so I can't really use it for much other than recording, which I can do, and playing MP3s, which I can also do, but other than that, it's not a very good device anymore. And I'd like to get the Olympus because from what I've heard, it's pretty good, and I have an old VN1000, and that thing, let's just say the recordings from that thing are crap. I mean, they're listenable, but the thing's so bad that it makes you sound like you're on an old 78 or an old cylinder, or almost. It's very odd.
I don't know if anyone's looked at it yet, but I'm using Goldwave 5.18, and it's got some interesting new navigation keys. J, K, and L are rewind, play, and fast forward, and also with the shift key, it sets the playback speed. It's slower, normal, and faster, so you can do some interesting possibilities with those.
Oh, cool. I'm actually using 5.14 right in front of me here, so I'm actually trying to clean up a record that I have here. I've got like 5 or 6 78s that I've recorded, one of which was actually bent. Like, part of it was bent in such a way that when the needle was going over it, it ended up creating like a scratching sound on the record, and I'm trying to figure out if there's any way I can clean it up, because I've done pop click reduction, and it partially cleans it up, but not very well.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to clean up, I think. Goldwave may not be the choice there for you, I'm not real sure. As far as the mics on the DS50, I believe the internal mic on the DS50 is mono for some reason, but it does have a clip-on stereo mic that comes with it, and it does have mic ins that you could use your Radio Shack mics on without any problem, I would think.
Do you know if I'll need any mic preamps for it? Because this is going to be crazy, but I thought about doing this and then kind of said no, it would be very loosey, and by that I mean very bad. But what I was going to do is, my iRiver does have the ability to record from the FM band, and I've recorded some stuff from an FM transmitter onto my iRiver. However, there was only, well, a couple problems with it. One, sometimes the iRiver would reverse the audio channels, and two, the iRiver, when it records from the FM band, it generates a low-frequency hum, like a D, like, I don't know exactly how to explain it, but it generates, like, two humming effects that are both D notes, and I also thought about getting a mic preamp, because these things are so cheap, they have no internal amperage whatsoever. They just have a little thing with a watch battery in it, and you just, it's like a really small powered mic, I guess, what I'm trying to say. But what I mean is that if I were to plug these things in a preamp and put them into my transmitter, it would probably sound like junk.
No, those mics will work just fine. You don't even need the battery power for them. The Olympus has battery power to the mics automatically, and it's a mic level input, so both of those mics would work just fine on it, I believe, with no preamps.
Okay, that's good to know. And that's also pretty good considering
I've gotten big on playing around with stereo things, and I actually do have a couple stream archives laying around of me being incredibly stupid, and one of which is actually kind of funny considering my very weird way of doing stereo was to take two standard microphones. This was before I got these Radio Shack ones. These are like standard karaoke mics. I decided to be very interesting and all right and cute about myself, so I plugged them into my mixer, set the thing in between two audio channels, and had the phono jacks plugged in, and the result was very interesting in that it worked, albeit it sounded very, odd. Hey, Sky.
Hello. Is this Matthew Bolas?
Yeah, what happened on your mics probably is, depending on how they were pointed, you probably were getting some phasing. I'm not real sure, but yeah, I know what you're saying. You took one mic for each channel and just mixed them together. And I guess depending on which ways they were pointing and how each one was picking each other up, you might have got some interesting effects there.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I had. If anything, if you want to go grabbing any of my stream archives, feel free to do so, because I have them. They're on my FTP, and since my FTP is anonymous, pretty much everybody knows it, although if you don't, I can send it to you as a message. But I can give you the exact files that are the correct stream archives. But it did create some very interesting things. And I also have a file called breakstuff.mp3, which is done with that same setup. And it definitely did create some strange effects.
Oh, I'm sure it did. Okay, well, we're about 10 minutes till 10 here, Eastern Standard, about 10 minutes till 7 o'clock Pacific. Does anybody have any more Gold Wave topics that they would like to talk about? And I guess if not, we'll start to wrap this up.
I don't have a question, but I might have an answer. I think it was Sean had asked, he has some crackle that he still can't get rid of. I, just in my playing around with stuff, if you have some of that that is silence, that has no voice or music or anything over it, you can highlight, you could select just a few seconds of that, copy it to your clipboard, go into effects and noise reduction, and the preset you would choose is clipboard noise print. And you can go in and remove some stuff that way if you have a little bit of that noise as with nothing else in it. I played around with that a little bit for some of the experiments that I was doing. So I don't know if that's an answer or not, but you could try it.
Yeah, the thing is, I'm just going to show you what this sounds like, and keep in mind this is coming through a pair of computer speakers, so it's not the best, but this is what I was doing. This is what you have when you have a record that's bent. This is actually the only side I really have to worry about, but that's what I'm trying to clean up. I could let that play for the next few minutes and probably drive you all crazy with that, but that's what I'm trying to figure out how to clean up, and I don't have the Goldwave scripts installed, so I might as well go get those.
Yeah, you could definitely take that beginning part before the music actually starts. You could try copying out to the clipboard and then going into the noise reduction effects and do the clipboard noise reduction. Yeah, you might have some luck there, but make sure you don't get any of the music in it, just the very beginning.
Okay, how would I go about selecting things? Because I'm currently not using scripts, so I'm trying to figure out how to do that. Without scripts, it's kind of fun. I'm also using the older 5.14 version of Goldwave here, so it's certainly very interesting.
You would just start listening to it, hit your F4 key to start playing, get to a spot, hit your left bracket to set a start marker, hit your right bracket to do a finish marker in that area, take a half a second, whatever, and do that, then do a control C, which will copy that segment to the clipboard, and then go into the noise reduction, and then do the noise reduction from clipboard, and you could play around with that and see what it does for you.
Yeah, it should be pretty interesting considering this. certainly has to go away. And it actually does that through about 30 seconds of the entire record, and then it kind of speeds, it kind of levels off after a few. Because what it was this record was bent, like part of it was bent inward, so it had like a dent in the record itself. So what you're hearing when you hear this, that's actually the needle going over that dented part of the record. And if you flip the record over, it would be going on the other side and you would get a different effect. Although that's probably way easier to clean up than this.
After he copies to the clipboard, wouldn't he have to do a control A before he did the noise reduction?
Yeah, you're right. To set the markers back out to the beginning of and the end, so it would look at the whole file. Yeah, you're right.
See what this did. Ooh, that is so artifacty. That cleans it up. Whoa. That's wicked artifacty.
Your amount that you're processing it by, I don't know what that field is called, but it's the very last parameter before it wraps back around when you're tabbing to the presets. It's the very last one. You need to set that lower, much, much lower.
All right, it was called scale to percent. I have it set to 40 now. Let's see what this does. Much better. Although it's, you can tell there's still a lot of like, scratch and stuff. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do a pop click reduction on this first to get rid of some of those extra clicks, and I'm going to see if I can still tackle that extra spot with the scratch, because that may not even be salvageable. Although I don't want it to lose all its lows, and I can tell even through the noise reduction, it sounded like not only did it reduce the noise, but it reduced all of the bass out of the song. And if anybody wants this file, I can give it to you, considering it's something that I've been trying to clean up for ages, and I haven't really had much luck.
You know, reducing a lot of that pop and all that from the warped record effect sort of takes away some of the authenticity of the 78 in the first place, which is too bad. I mean, I think it's kind of cool that records actually really used to sound like that, and we used to listen to them, and we were okay with it.
I know. I mean, nowadays, like, I've heard some things that literally you can't understand them unless you take the pop and click away. This doesn't remove from the understanding, but what I'm trying to do is clean up just that one little spot where you have the needle going scratch, so that way I can clean it up just enough so that way it doesn't do that, but pretty much leave the rest of it intact somehow. I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of that.
I have an old Victrola, and it's kind of fun sometimes to put 78s on there and wind it up and listen to them. It's really interesting to think about this is what it sounded like before we had all this technology.
I seriously wish I had a Victrola, because I've got some records that literally they would sound wicked, wicked good on a Victrola. I've got some like nice old, in fact, this Polish record I've got here probably wouldn't sound that bad on a Victrola, but I don't have one because I have to go and find one. I'm actually wondering, do any of you know where I can get a portable Victrola? Because I heard from Sky Taylor that on his podcast with the Victrola, which I gotta admit, that'll be my next thing to clean up, because that thing is distorted so much. I actually had to use Audio Stalker on it to clean up the distortion with Winamp. Although that only works in Winamp, so I have to figure out what else I can do with that thing. But other than that, it was a pretty good podcast.
Yeah, you're probably asking for way more than Goldwave's ever going to be able to do to that record. That's really pretty messed up. All I could say is keep playing with it, but I think you're asking for much more than Goldwave could ever do. You'd probably almost have to do something like I've seen how they're restoring old movies and old audio. What they do is they take them in a digital editor, and this would be something I'm sure only a sighted person could do, but they'd look at the waveform, you know, down at the millisecond level, and what they do to those segments where you hear the pops and clicks is they actually clip them out at that level and just make them go away. They smooth them or they delete them entirely if it's silent, and, you know, they do this millisecond by millisecond in an editor, and I've seen, while I could still see, they were doing it to old black and white movies, you know, from the very early 1900s, and they're taking these things and they'll you know, make the audio and the picture quality, you know, practically new, and you know, that'd be far out of our abilities. But I think you're asking for way more than what Goldwave could ever do on that.
Yeah, I think I'll agree with you on that, although I'm going to keep playing with this because now that I know a little bit about how to do this, one other question I do have, though, with regards to Goldwave is, for dealing with cassette tapes, I'm trying to think of how to restore cassettes, because records is, like, the one thing I'm pretty good at, but cassette tapes I've never done before, and it's 10 o'clock p.m., but I'm wondering, how could I do it with cassette tapes? Just do the same thing that I did with the history reduction there and just play with that a bit?
Yeah, pretty much. You would just do noise reduction on it. And I've played with it a little bit. It's kind of easier than records, actually, because you don't get all the popping and clicking. And but it's basically the same way.
Cool. If anything, I'm just going to show you what happens here when I put this thing at 500 percentage for the tolerance percent. I want to show you what this does. So it cleans it up pretty well. Although it still could use a bit more cleanup, but at least it's a bit more listenable now than it was just then. This actually is a Polish 78 that I've got. I've got tons of these. And there you go. I'm just going to keep working on that and see what I can do with it.
Yeah, it did. It did actually do okay. I got to confess, I don't know much about any of those numbers in the noise reduction. I don't know what half of that does. I'd like to know how to do it a lot better. But you might just keep playing like you are, and you know, that did at least sound better, and it didn't have artifacts in it near as much as I could tell.
Yeah, it didn't really have very many artifacts. Main thing, though, you can still tell there's like a remnant of what the needle was doing before, but it's not that bad. One thing I'm actually going to do is I'm going to see about doing a clipboard noise print on this now. I want to see what it does. It should be very interesting. That noise you're hearing, by the way, is my phone. I'm not sure you could hear that, but that was my phone. Let's see, Alt-C. Okay, I've got the priority set to high. The problem with this computer is if you set it to maximum, it causes the sound card to go all crash and go crackly and things.
Yeah, that's normal. You need to set the priority low. It's too slow of a machine. That's normal. But yeah, you're going to need to do multiple noise reductions probably because you're trying to use the clipboard to reduce different kinds of noise levels. So yeah, you're really going to have to play with that, and you're going to need a lot of luck. Okay, it's a couple minutes after 10 o'clock. I don't know if anybody else has any more Goldwave questions or comments or answers or anything else, but if not, then we're going to wrap it up, and appreciate everybody coming in tonight. It's been interesting. I'll be back in tomorrow night between 6 and 8 p.m. I'm going to have just a general tech problems Q&A session, you know, where you can ask any kind of questions, and hopefully we'll have a lot of people in here. And a lot of people can try and answer some questions. I know I'm not going to be able to answer all of them, just as I wasn't able to in the Goldwave tonight. But hope to see you all there tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And if anybody else has a Goldwave comment, go ahead and make it right now. And then we'll wrap it up after that.
Main thing, I just want to say Goldwave is a pretty good audio editor, and it is the only audio editor that I've seen that can save things on Ankh of Orbis. And I just wanted to, if you want, I'm going to probably put this restoring on my FTP, but I want to show you what this does now that I've got it at 100. This is probably artifact a lot, but here it is with the thing set to 95. Oh, it's skipping a bit, which is not too good. Okay, then. That didn't work. I'll keep playing with it.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to push up the one setting that high. It's just way, way too high. I can hear the artifacting even on the chat here. Okay, anybody else have anything they'd like to add at this point?
This is a... this chat room is secure, right? No one can send anything through it unless you are the moderator?
No. Nobody can do any file transfers or anything in here as far as I'm aware. I don't know of any way to do it. I wouldn't worry too much about that.
You handled that whole thing incredibly well. I was impressed.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, you just have to, you know. Hey, I don't want to get in a fight with anybody, and I don't want to cause a big commotion here. You know, we were trying to do Gold Wave, and as long as everybody stayed with it, I, you know, didn't have too much of a problem. Okay, well, I guess that's a wrap. I guess we're all finished, and appreciate everybody coming tonight, and hope everybody shows up tomorrow night. And hopefully we can do this again at some point. But thanks for coming in.
The main thing, Rick, just kind of off the record here, I'm playing with the FFT size to see what that does. I found out the lower your FFT size, the more artifacting you get, which is kind of odd.
Yeah, the FFT number is the mathematical formula, I guess, that it uses. And when you play around with that, I guess, I don't know if it's the higher the number, the more it does, or the lower the number, the more it does. But that's all through mathematical formulas on how it does the noise reduction.
Yeah, I think it's the lower the number, the more it does. Because I noticed how now it's at 8, and if I turn this up carefully, I'll show you. This thing now is doing this.
Did you go and shot me, Chrissy Breed, in there?
No, I didn't.
Why did you give me this shit, Sean?
Sorry about that.